the absolute quality of our lives await our investigation of it. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. The absolute quality of our life awaits our investigation of it. Now, have you ever investigated the absolute quality of your life? Have you ever looked at what is your absolute quality of your life? Have you ever cared what is the absolute quality of your life? Have you ever thought what is the absolute quality of your life? I'm working with Jason, and I'm saying, Jason, don't give me platitudes. Don't give me simple statements. I want statements that reach out beyond that. Ellen, don't give me... Ellen, I say to Ellen, don't give me simple statements. Give me statements that reach out beyond that. Now, how do you have a statement that reaches out beyond the simple statement? Like Jason was describing his mother, saying that his mother is a good hugger. And I said, yeah, but so what? And everybody's a good hugger. It all depends. Now, if you're in love with somebody and they hug you, you're happy to have that hug and you call them a good hugger. And you don't really know what hugging's all about until you've been hugged by someone who really knows how to hug. And when you're hugged by someone who really knows how to hug, then you think that every hugger that you've ever had before then has been a little bit inferior, like missing the boat. Now, you say, well, now, what does this have to do with the absolute and our absolute attitudes? Well, we have a tendency to speak in the first person present tense positive. We have a tendency to speak in the what?
Now.
Oh, thank you. And what did you say?
Now.
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 Rex?
Wow, wow, wow.
We have a tendency to speak in the now. Well, now, isn't that the silliest thing in the world? From the absolute point of view. Is there a now in the absolute point of view? No. There is no now in the absolute point of view, because all things are. They don't exist in a time reference, in a time-space reference. They are just existing. They are an is. And as an is it describable by time? No. Is it describable by space? No. Is it describable by what it is? No. What sort of things exist in the is? What would you describe that exists in the is? Would you say that a smile exists in the is? Would you say that a happy thought exists in the is? Would you say that the universe as we understand it here exists in the is? Would you say that all exists in the is? And all is an is? And all is an is from the absolute point of view? Well, think about it. If anything is an is from the absolute point of view, then it's not absolute. If anything has existence from the absolute point of view, then it has no existence. Because from the absolute point of view, it's the allness. What do we say about our concept or our thinking of God? If God knew all that God is, it would not be God.
Right.
If God knew what God is, it cannot know all the things that it is. Sounds sort of irrational, and in a manner of speaking, it is, but can you imagine that you know every grain of sand on the earth? You know every star in the sky? You know every atom that exists? You know all the many species of creation? You know all these things? Now, I'm going to make it easy for you. Just take one species and tell me what it's all about. How many critters are in that species? How many male? How many female? How many children? How many adults? How many places does it exist? Does it have existence in more than one place? And You see, now, the minute you do that, you're becoming particularized. Mm-hmm. And the moment we become particularized, what do?
Maybe it's becoming relative.
We cease living in absolute awareness. And if you want to cease living in absolute awareness, that's okay. But now, let's just say that you are absolute awareness, which you are. And you would not like to miss going swimming. You would not like to miss jumping out of an airplane in a parachute and flying around in the sky and having a good time. You would not like to miss the idea of swimming under the ocean. Under the ocean? Sure. In the ocean. But you would like to miss that. How would you like to miss a kiss from someone you very much love? Just imagine if you missed the kiss from someone you very much love, what would happen? You say, oh, that is too exciting to miss, you know. Now, what are those things? Those are all relative things. Now, when you are in absolute awareness, do you ever think about relative things? And the answer is no. Why do you not think about relative things? Because if you thought about relative things, you'd be relative.
Right.
And if you're absolute, you cannot think about relative things. You say, well, my God, you know, this whole situation here on Earth and this whole situation of existence is futile if we're going to say that. And that's true. It is. It is. Now, what is this futileness? What is this whole existence that we have? Tell me. We're in some deep philosophical thinking right now. But what is that? What is that beingness? It's one word, and many words to describe it, but of course, it's a word called illusion. It's an illusion. Now, can the infinite, the allness, be aware of illusions? No, not really. Because if it's aware of an illusion, it'll be that illusion, and it'll believe that it's that illusion. Mm-hmm. And that illusion then will become real for it, and it'll be that which it has alluded to. Now, is that what we want to do? Do you want to live a life of illusion? Do you want to live a life where you are thinking you're something and you're not? Well, that's what you're doing. Every moment of your life, you're thinking you're something that you're not. You're living in the relative world, which does not exist, and you're living in the relative world, which you think is, because it's an illusion, and it is not. Now, where do we go from here? Why do we want to be absolute? Why do we want to be in the allness, in the universality? Well, you like to use big words. You like to use big words. You like to use words like, I am a master. See? And our friend here, he writes to us and he says, me, God, James. See? Me, God, James. Now, what does that mean? What does the me mean? Individualized, right? God, more or less universalized, but still individualized. And James, very much individualized too, just like the me. So, you see, he has individualized himself so much. Now, if he would say, Master, you know, if he said, Master James, he's back in the saddle again. He's back in the old framework, which we all are in. And we think it's just fine being in that framework of me, God, James. Me, the allness, me, the isness, but the finiteness. What do you want to do? What do you really want to do? Do you want to be a master? Even the masters that we know about are pretty crummy masters. Really. The master taught Sai Baba to meditate and said to Sai Baba at one point, remember, are you meditating, Baba? Or whatever you call him.
Rami.
Rami?
Rama.
Rama. Rami, Rami. Rama, are you meditating? And what did Rama say?
Yes, Master.
Was he meditating?
No.
No. He was aware that his master asked him if he was meditating. Now, if he truly were meditating, he wouldn't answer, would he? But he had to answer his master because he had to be aware of what his master was saying because he was learning from his master. No. If his master says, go into meditation and be completely oblivious to anything outside yourself, then what would he do? He would be in his meditation completely unaware of what was going on in the world around him. And then what would happen to him? What would happen to him? Well, he would little by little master all of the things in his relative world. He would master all of the things of knowledge, all of the things of teleportation, levitation, all these good stuff, you know. He would be able to do that. Now, is that a big deal? Well, those who cannot do it think it's a big deal, and that's always the way it will be. But how can you learn to do it? How can you learn to do it? Well, what are thoughts, Anita?
Things.
Thoughts are things. And if we think our thought, then what happens? We experience the thought, the thing that we thought about. Now, if you think of levitating, you levitate. When Jesus was out on the lake, and the ocean, the waves, the lake waves got higher and higher, the wind blew, and the disciples were very much frightened, and they were alone out there, and Jesus was on shore. And he said, Master, Master, save us. And so he walks out over the waves, and he says, peace. And they were all stunned. Now, good imagination or good illusion or whatever it was, but they were stunned. The storm was an illusion too, wasn't it? So they were stunned. And then Peter says, Master, bid me to walk out to you. And Jesus said, why not? Come, Pete. Yeah. And he held his hand out to him, and Peter walked partway to him, and then he looked down. And when he looked down, then what happened? He sunk. You see, he took his consciousness away from the experience that he was having. Now, those are just slight little experiences. Just slight little experiences. Do you think that the Pharaoh of ancient Egypt would be quite startled to see a jet airplane land in front of his pyramid and pick him up and take him for a ride? Do you think he'd be quite startled? But you see, think of it. The minute the Pharaoh rode in the jet and came back, he would no longer be startled, would he? He would no longer be surprised because he did it. The minute the Pharaoh had a Cadillac pull up in front of his pyramid and take him for a drive, he would at first be very surprised. Ooh, such luxury, air conditioning and all that good stuff, you know, and TV and radio and music and everything. Wow, 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 you know. And the Pharaoh had never heard those things except in his fondest imagination. And then he experienced it. Now, do you think a Pharaoh ever experienced that? That he ever had those? And of course the answer is yes. How do you think the pyramids were built? By a bunch of slaves carrying the stone great distances? Or by someone thinking their thought and having it be done? You can't put a knife blade between the stones there so closely fit. Now that's good. That's a big stone. But Jason, who watches Star Trek, and he remembers a Star Trek movie where this little boy was playing around with people on a certain planet, and the people from Star Trek would land on that planet, and then the little boy would come down, and he was a man, and he would play with them. He would play with them and have a war with them and fight with them and have them battle him, and they thought it was very real. And then the little boy's mother from her planet, Jason, what are you doing down there? Are you doing something you shouldn't be doing? And he said, Mom, I'm okay. No, I feel you're doing something. Jason, you come home right now. And she clicked her finger, and all of a sudden, all of the difficulty was gone. All of the foolishness was gone. Now, is that real? Could that really have happened? Could all the Alice in Wonderland things happen? Could all of the Disneyland things, the Snow White and Seven Dwarfs, could all those things happen? Could all these things that we read about and hear about really happen? Well, not only could they, but they do and have. They have. And they're taking place all around us. Now, do you want to tune into it? You can. You can very easily. I could just snip my fingers and say, okay, you're all having the illusion. And you'd have the illusion, and whatever the illusion is that we chose, you'd be having a great time. And then I'd snip my finger, and you'd be back. And you'd say, huh, I feel so rested. You know, you don't say, where were we? What did we do? Because you don't remember that you did something or were somewhere else other than where you are right now. You just feel a little more rested after an instant in which you were gone and back, you see? Now, is that real? Oh, all the time. All the time. Like I repeat again and again and again. The Missing Persons Bureau is listed with thousands and thousands of names of people who disappeared and never were found. Never, not a trace of them. Because they ascended. They took their bodies with them. They died. And when people die and get in a coffin and they're dead, okay, there's got a monument there. Yeah, that's what they are. But are you sure? Yeah. Are you sure? Are you sure of anything? What would you want to do as a master? What do you want to do from the absolute point of view? Sounds fascinating, doesn't it? What do you... Yeah. What do you want to do? You see... Yeah, you say it's not that cool. But it is that cool when you know who you are. Can a master shift gears from here to there, to there to here, and here to there, and be, and still be a master?
Oh, sure.
Sure. Can a master appear to be a not master?
Yes.
A master can appear to be a not master all the time. Did Jesus appear to be a not master?
Yeah.
Oftentimes. If you read all the stories of the Bible about Jesus, you'll find that 50% of the time he is being a not master. You know why, Jason? Because the children in his math class said to Jesus, what's the matter with you, teacher? Don't you know the answer? Jesus said, tell me what 2 times 2 is. And they say, don't you know what the answer is? You're son of a dumb teacher. Do you think they believed in their teacher? No. Do you think that you believe in your teacher? Who's your teacher?
I.
And when you realize the teacher is you, and that you don't even believe in yourself, that's a silly thing to do. So when you start believing in yourself, this is a game that you came here to play. Ellen, or anybody, what is the reason that you came to Earth?
To be myself and have fun.
Anybody else?
To remember who I am.
To remember who you are. Which is being yourself and having fun.
Sure.
But to remember who you are. You have come to this life experience to remember who you are. Now, are you going to say you are less than you are or more than you are? What are you going to say? Is Jason the son of his parents? Is Jason a genius? Is Jason a brilliant young man? Is Jason a man that people respect and listen to and say, wow, he certainly leads us right? Are you a person that people listen to and say, wow, what a brilliant mind they have, what a brilliant understanding? And you haven't told them anything. Because if you were to really tell them what you were doing when you drift off and you're on another dimension, they wouldn't understand it. Ellen, give me 2 words, and this is really easy. Give me 2 words in Russian. Schnell. Нет, да.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a word in Russian, too. That's a word in Russian, too. But нет, what's нет?
Not.
What's da?
Yes.
Okay. Now, wasn't that easy? Do you think Ellen's been in Russia? She's been in the Ukraine, and she's been lecturing over there for our philosophy. And she talked to these people, and she had translators, and they did very beautiful. But you don't even remember them? All right? Give me one word in Italian.
Oh, basta.
Give me one word in German.
Jawohl.
Jawohl. Give me one word in English.
Yes.
Give me one word in, what should we say?
French.
Huh?
Italian.
French.
French?
You have a
French. No. Give me one word in
Yugoslavia.
Yugoslavian, yeah.
Dumbledore.
That wasn't hard, was it? Okay, now, are these real words that you've spoken?
Yes.
Thank you. Are they real words that you've spoken, or are they just a bit of claptrap? Are they a bit of nothing? Do they mean something to anybody who hears them? No. Now, Jason, give me a word that is universal and understood by everybody, and a word that no one can confuse. And you don't have to speak it aloud, but give me a word that is universal. Quick, Schnell. Come. God. Jason. Jason.
Smile.
Smile. Jason. I'm thirsty. Jason. It's noisy, too noisy. Jason, you spell. You see, there are universal symbols, universal phrases that everyone understands. Now, Jason, I'm picking on you because you're fun to pick on. What do the children in the sandbox do when they are starting to play with their toys?
They share.
They communicate. Now, do they share or do they play? Who owns the toys, Jason?
Nobody.
And everybody. These are children who are not told by their parents, that's your toy now, you bring that back when you take it to the play box. You know, they're earlier from that. So the toys that are in the play box belong to everybody. And they play with them. Now, they don't share them. When I'm playing with my fire truck, you better leave it alone. You're playing with your gasoline car, you know, whatever you got, your motorcycle. And then I say, hey, Jason, I'll trade you for your motorcycle. And you say, sure. You know, and so you take my fire truck. And then you go roaring off with my fire truck, having a great old time. And I take your motorcycle and I drive it up trees and drive it everywhere, you know, just having a great old time. Now, and then somebody else comes along, wants to trade too, or wants to play with what I've got, and so they offer me what they have to do. Now, do I understand that? Sure I do. And give an hour of playing together, do you think the kids know each other's name? No. But they know each other who they are. That's that boy with the brown hair. That's that boy with the crooked nose. That's that boy, you know, with the tan, with the freckles on his face. You know, that, you know, whatever is logical. And so they know everybody and their friends. They communicate. They communicate. This is why the story of the Tower of Babel is such an ineffective story. Because it said the people were making a tower to God so that they could learn to talk to God and be one with God. And God crushed their tower and destroyed it and made them all speak different languages so that they could not communicate with one another. Well, isn't that a loving father? Woo! Now, what's God trying to hide? Is he naked up there or something? He didn't want them to see him naked up there in the sky? What is God trying to hide, huh? Is God trying to hide the fact that he likes his whiskey, you know? You know? What's God trying to hide? Well, nothing. But people create God in their limited image, and then they try to say, this is the absolute consciousness. And we get all confused. And we find that, like Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. The little children and their what?
innocence.
Their innocence. The little children and they're innocent. When an innocent person comes to you and talks to you and just asks you questions, and you know that they're real sincere and innocent, you just tell them everything. That's why when a person wants to learn about being a billionaire, you know, he says, "I'm going to go talk to Bill Gates." And so he goes to Bill Gates, and he gets to talk to Bill Gates. He chooses to. And so he says, "Mr. Gates, how can I be a billionaire?" And Mr. Gates says, "Well, what do you like to do?" "Oh, I like to spend money." "Yeah, well, that's nice. But what do you like to do? What is it that in whatever you do in life that gives you the happiness? You like to play ball, or you like to play house, or you like to drive cars? You like to what do you like to do?" "Oh, I'm happiest when I can just be alone and think." "Oh, you like to think, huh? My goodness. And what do you think about?" "Oh, I think about 500 ideas every day that I have never even got a chance to put into motion. Beautiful entrepreneurial ideas." "Oh my, what a brilliant young man, you know." And so, what would happen? He would be there. Bill Gates would say, "Son, you're fantastic. Come work for my company. But I'm only 8 years old." "That's okay. We'll pay you only $8,000 a day." "Oh, good, good, good." And Jason says, "My, that is abundant." "No. That kid's got moxie. He's got guts. He's got knowledge. He's got wisdom. He's got genius about him. And he's letting it flow. Would you do that? Would you have that same proclivity to go to Bill Gates and say, well, I don't know. This is what I'm thinking about. You know, these are what I'm dreaming." Because you would think it's too silly to say to him, you know. Because Bill Gates surely only thinks about big, important things. But these are the things. The bigger the man, the more important the man, when asked a sincere question by most anybody, he'll give a sincere answer to it and be happy that you're picking his brain. And perhaps even give you some wise thoughts. And you can go and apply them. If you have the genius. Now, do you have the genius to take wise thoughts and use them? And the answer is no, because you think you don't. Why didn't you immediately answer yes when I asked the question? Because you're just listening, and you're just sort of playing games with the games I'm playing with you. Now, don't do that. You are the master. You are the thinker. You are the thought. You are the thought thought and the thought thought about. And you are the thought that is not yet thought about. But you are the thought that always is, always was, always will be. And you are the thought that's expressed or that's being revealed. It's up to you. Now, is there a right time for a thought to be revealed? No. The time that you reveal it is the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to reveal it?
Yes.
Then reveal it. Reveal it now. And enjoy what it has to say. Because you're magic, all of you. You're magic. You are the little child who goes to Jesus or who goes to Bill Gates and says, "Hey, Master, I would like to do what you're doing." And Jesus said, "Hold out your hand and say to this man, you are whole and perfect." And so the child holds out his hand and says to this man, "You're whole and perfect." And the man gets up and walks away. And Jesus said, "See, you could do what I did. But you may help me do it." You know, no, you said that and you did it. Now, I'm going to go away and I want you to stay right here. And I want you to walk up and down this row of lepers here and speak to each one and say, "You're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect." And when I come back, I'll be back in about 10 minutes. When I come back, I want to see all of them whole and perfect. No, none are hard, none are easy. It's just you practicing the principle. And so the little boy walks up and down, totally innocent, believing that he has that possibility, that power, that wonderful, and believing that his word is great, and he speaks to all the lepers. And when he returns, the master is standing there and say, "Well, what did you do?" And the little boy says, "I went to everyone and told them I loved them." And Jesus said, "That's the right answer. For your love has made them whole."
Beautiful.
And this is where you are. Now, you want to play this role as an absolute thinker, an absolute being? You can. It's up to you, but it's your choice. And this is only one of a million adventures that we can take together if you're ready and willing and able to put aside the past and not live in the now, but live in the already fulfilled, already completed. You know, all you're doing is revealing who and what you are and who and what the world is that you've created. Have a lovely day and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.